Well, as I was praying about this service this week and meditating on the word, I realized that this hymn was written for this sermon. In fact, I think this hymn should easily be the hymn of the church of our day. Because the words of the hymn say, trust and obey. And you know what the problem that Jesus speaks to in this passage we're going to look at from Matthew chapter 7. What Jesus speaks to, the problem then, and certainly the problem now, is there are many people in the church who are trusting in Jesus, but they're not obeying. Trusting in Jesus for salvation, but not repenting, not turning away from sin, not following the will of God. Not to worry, Christ died for me, it'll all be okay. I want to turn back to this text, Matthew 7, 15 to 21. Jesus speaks in there, and I think the critical thing is he talks about, we better know what the difference is between good fruit and bad fruit. And the theme of the main idea of this text is the good fruit is doing God's will. That's what he tells us. The good fruit is doing God's will. We need to know this because there are many people that Jesus is speaking to who are headed in the wrong direction. By that I mean they think they're going the right way, but they're actually going the wrong way. Has that ever happened to you, by the way, when you've been driving? Happens to all of us probably once in a while. Last time it happened to me, Sam and I, my oldest son Sam, he'd gone down to Illinois. I was serving a church in Champaign. Sam had come down to visit for a couple of weeks, and then I was driving him back up to school. And I love that drive because Champaign, Illinois, central Illinois is flat as a pool table. Well, this part of Minnesota is flat as a pool table too. But the big difference is here you've got all kinds of beautiful lakes and forests, which I love. Down in Champaign, Illinois, that middle central part of Illinois, there are no lakes and there are no forests. It's just corn. As far as the eye can see in every direction, it's flat and it's all cultivated into corn. I told my boys, I said, if you want to get a good view down here, what you do is you get on a freeway overpass. From there, you can see forever. You can see so far, you can almost see the back of your head from a freeway overpass in central Illinois. Well, I like forests, and I like hills and mountains, too, because, you know, I was raised in the West Coast. So when we drive up from Illinois up to Minneapolis, the first thing we'd see, as soon as you cross the border into southern Wisconsin, you start hitting those rolling hills, and that was so beautiful. And then you'd start hitting the forests of central Illinois, and it was just a feast for my eyes. It was like cool water. You know, I just love to see that wild country. So Sam and I are driving on 94 about in the middle of Illinois, or middle of Wisconsin. By the way, it's a 15-hour drive. So I'd let Sam have a turn at the wheel. And we needed gas. So we pull off to the right off a exit ramp, and there's a gas station right at the top of the ramp. We pull in there, and we find out that gas station has been out of business. It's all boarded up. Not a problem. Right across the freeway over there is another gas station. So we scoot across the overpass and get gassed up there. And we buy some munchies and we buy some iced tea, and we're having a great conversation because we haven't seen each other, you know, for a long time. We're just loving the beautiful countryside. And you know how it is on the freeway, when you turn off to the right on a freeway, you turn back onto the right on a freeway. So we got back on the freeway, turned right, and started heading straight down the freeway. The only problem is we forgot that we had crossed over. Now, one of the things about central Illinois is those beautiful forests are just as beautiful going east as they are going west. And so we're just happy and having a great conversation driving due east, heading back down to Champaign. We're about 10 miles down the road before suddenly I see a mile marker and I realize, Sam, we're going the wrong direction. You know, and in central Wisconsin, it's a pretty wild area. There are not a lot of towns. And we had to go another 20 miles to Toma before we could turn around and get back on the right direction. That means we went 60 miles on a 15-hour drive. We went 60 miles, an extra hour out of our way. And we were going the wrong way, and we didn't even realize it. Jesus tells us this morning that there are many. That's the word he uses in verse 22. There are many in the church who believe they're right with the Lord, but they will hear these terrifying words on the last day from Jesus. I never knew you. And we need to look carefully and prayerfully at the Word of God, because God wants you saved, but he also wants you confident that you're saved. And we find that confidence, and we find that assurance only in the Word of God. I want to turn back to this text, Matthew 7, 15 to 21. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Jesus tells us, and it's clear as a bell in this text, that there are lost souls in the church. He tells us also that we'll know them by their fruit, and he tells us what that fruit is. He says, doing God's will is vital to salvation. Doing God's will is vital to salvation. And what is that will? What is the perfect will of God? He tells us also God's will is that you trust in Jesus, that you believe in Jesus Christ. There are lost souls in the church. Jesus talks about two kinds of people in these verses. First of all, are those whom he calls wolves in sheep's clothing. He's talking about people who are pastors, and they're wearing a disguise like they're one of God's ministers, a minister of God's word. But Jesus calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. These are false teachers. The Bible says that there were false teachers in the church from the very beginning. Do you know the church has always, and this should give us some confidence, the church has always battled against false teaching in the church. And certainly we are today as well. 2 Peter 2:1 says, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." Jesus tells us these false teachers are like ravenous wolves. Now, you know, for many people here, you kind of have a feeling what that means, that expression, ravenous wolves. Certainly the people of Jesus' day did. But you know, a lot of people in our cities, they have no clue what that means. They maybe have seen a wolf in a zoo or something. But you know, for those who don't know, all you need to do is go on YouTube. Are you familiar with YouTube? If you're familiar with the internet, there's a website called YouTube where they post videos of just about everything you can imagine. And surprisingly enough, it's pretty well disciplined. I mean, I've never seen anything on there offensive. YouTube is an internet site where you can see videos on just about anything. I go on there. I like to watch the tornadoes. Lori likes me to watch the scenes about tornadoes because they have films from the Weather Channel of tornadoes all over the country. And, you know, I'm one of those guys that when a tornado is reported, I go outside so I can look at it, you know. Lori goes down to the basement, and she thinks I ought to go down to the basement too. So she likes me to watch these videos so I can see just how destructive a tornado really is. You can see on YouTube videos that our troops have taken in Afghanistan. You can see what our men are doing in Afghanistan. You can see a YouTube video that shows you how to change the tire on your car or how to use a straight edge razor. I mean, just about anything you want. All you have to do is click on it. Recently on YouTube, I was kind of reading up on black bears and wolves. And I was on YouTube and I saw videos. They've taken some of the Nature Channel has got videos of wolves attacking elk, attacking buffalo, and even one video of wolves attacking a grizzly bear, if you can imagine that. Now these wolves, they get so hungry in the dead of winter that they become completely uncaring about the danger involved in attacking these animals, even a full-grown buffalo or a grizzly bear, and their minds are consumed with one thought only, and that is to satisfy their desperate hunger. That's what it means, ravenous. Jesus says false prophets will be so bent on satisfying their own desires that they will be completely blind to the danger to their immortal souls. And in their desire to satisfy their own lust, they will destroy the faith of many in the church. Jesus describes a second kind of people, though, and actually, maybe it's more fearful than the first. More fearful even than false prophets. These are people to whom Jesus will one day say, "I never knew you." Verses 22 and 23, just following our text, Jesus says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me,'" and this is the key, "'depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So Jesus gives us two vital warnings here. The first warning is about false prophets, and the second warning is about those who think they're saved but are not. And Jesus gives us this warning because these dangers are very real. And I tell you, they've never been more real than they are today in our affluence and our prosperity and our arrogance. So how do we avoid these wolves in sheep's clothing? And also, how do we avoid hearing these words ourselves? We don't want to hear those words. "I never knew you." Well, Jesus tells us, he says, the nature of the good fruit is doing God's will. He says in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Jesus says you can spot these dangers only one way. You look for the fruit in their lives. He says in verse 16 and 17, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." The problem, though, for us, is we have difficulty knowing the difference between good fruit and bad fruit. We need to remember that each one of us has had our conscience spoiled by the fall of creation. Our old nature, which each one of us has, easily confuses us so that often we can't recognize good fruit from bad fruit. Many of the funerals that I have attended in my life, unfortunately, tragically, have been for a lost soul who lived an unrepentant life, some of them even openly defiant against God, and yet there's always family and friends on that occasion who are quick to say, he was a good man, or she was a good woman. But God is not convinced by the opinion of family and friends. No, God has his own standards of what is good fruit and what is bad fruit, and he is the judge, not popular opinion. You know, if you go hunting in Minnesota, you want to make sure you get the Minnesota hunting regulations so that you do everything right, you don't get into trouble with the DNR. You know, I like to go grouse hunting, and I'm very grateful for the men who let me tromp around on their CRP grass and do some grouse hunting in the fall. But I've got to be careful whenever I get next to a wetlands, because the DNR says you cannot shoot lead shot near a wetlands. And I've got an old double-barreled Baker shotgun, beautiful old shotgun, but the steel back in the days that gun was manufactured, it's not strong enough, the tube's not strong enough for steel shot. I can't shoot steel through it. So either have to shoot lead or I shoot what they call a heavy shot, some bismuth or some other material. Because if I'm shooting lead and I'm near a wetlands and the DNR, they'll confiscate that gun and give me a $500 fine right there on the spot. So I need to know what the regulations are because I don't want that to happen. You men who go fishing, or women too, when you go fishing, you know, you got to take the fishing regulations with you because you know how it is with walleye. You can only keep so many and they have to be a certain length, but no longer than another length. And if they're bigger than that, you can only have one. You know, you have to know those regulations or you'll get into trouble. That's why the state provides us those regulations, by the way, so we stay out of trouble and get to do the things that we want to do. And for the same reason, God has provided us his holy word. He says, Jesus says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What is the good fruit? The good fruit is doing the will of God. And how do we know the will of God? He has given it to us in the Bible. It's like opening up the regulations manual and reading right off the bat, these are the things you must do. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 describes Holy Scriptures. It says, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Psalm 119:105, this very famous passage says, God's word is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path so that you know you're going the right way. When you read God's word, you will see what his will is. And seeing this, you will be able to see also wolves in sheep's clothing. You will know when a false teacher is inviting you up onto that wide path that leads to destruction, because what he or she is teaching you is not what God's word says. But also, when you read God's word, you will see in your own life bad fruit. You will see how you have turned away from the will of God. And this is the first purpose of the law. The first purpose of the law, God's word shows you exactly where you have rebelled against him and against his will. And his word shows you that bad fruit in your life. And so we hear these words of warning from Jesus. He says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Hell is awaiting for each one who will not do the will of God. But the Word of God has two messages, because, of course, we all know that the Word of God points out in your life, just like it does in my life, bad fruit. The reality is there's bad fruit in every life. And that's why Jesus had to come and die on the cross for you and for me. There are two messages in God's Word. The first is the law, and the first purpose of the law is to show us God's will and to show us how we failed. But the second message in the Word of God is the gospel. And we each one should fear the fires of judgment, but also we hear the gospel, and it says that God's will is that you believe in Jesus Christ unto salvation. When you know that you've been disobedient to God's will, and you believe His word that judgment is coming, then hear these words from Jesus Christ also. John 6:38. Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of God the Father who sent me, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Do you believe in Jesus? That's the real question that will determine whether you are saved or one of those to whom Jesus says, "I never knew you." Do you believe that Jesus is God? That He came into this world to save you, and He died on the cross for your sins? If you believe that Jesus is your personal Savior, then He says, God says, you are doing the will of God the Father. For no one can keep the law perfectly, but you can be saved. Jesus said, Mark 1:15, repent, that means to turn away from sin. Repent and believe the gospel. In the church, there are many who know about Jesus. And there are many who know that He came to save sinners. But the Bible says those saved are those who repent and believe the good news. You see, the law still shows us God's will. You remember last week we talked about this, Matthew 5:18. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot nor one tittle of the law will by no means pass until all is fulfilled." So you see, God's will is that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ, whom He sent as an atonement for your sins. And God's will is that you turn now away from sin, the sin that He defines in His Word. Yes, turn away from sin. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the wolves in sheep's clothing. Listen to His Word and believe the good news. Christ died for your sins, that you are forgiven. The good fruit is following Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and Savior. May His name be praised. Amen.